Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Yud Gimel b'Menachem Av Tashinayin Hey, Parashas Ve'Askanan, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 28 July 2015, webcasting from the most disputed piece of real estate on the planet. How odd, how neurotic of the world to sneer at the Jews for their claim to be the chosen people, chosen by God, and at the same time, claim ownership of their holiest site, the Temple Mount. The world, that is. I mean, enlightened opinion, Muslim opinion, the opinion of the nations united, the closest body to a planetary government, all say the Jews cannot be sovereign over the Temple Mount. If we are not the chosen people, why not? Indeed, even Israel, by its action, goes along with that. It does nothing to change the status quo on the Temple Mount, where the Arabs deny Jews the right to visit, without being surrounded by a witch's coven of Arab females howling and mocking them as the Israeli police hustle the visiting Jews along and permit no prayers. A Jew caught moving his lips is arrested by the Israeli police. It's a daily routine of police escorting visiting Jews as the Arabs howl at them. Why, just 2 days ago, on the 9th of Av, dozens of Arabs, males about Ishmael's age when expelled from Abraham's peaceful tents, all of them masked, threw rocks and firecrackers and metal bars at the police, pre-positioned in Al-Aqsa Mosque. And this is hardly the first time they have pelted the police like that and denied Jews the right to pray. And it happens because Israel lets it happen. And Israel lets it happen because, left to right, across the secular political spectrum, no one wants to turn this conflict into a holy war between Islam and Judaism. And never mind, wanting is not the same as being able to prevent it or deny it, which is what official Israel has always done. The reason on Sunday morning for these dozens of violent barbarians attacking our police and the Jews come to pray on that holy day is because Israel is mute when it comes to asserting its rights, precisely because they are, in essence, religious rights. To end the disgrace of the State of Israel tolerating what goes down on the Temple Mount, starting with the prohibition against Jewish prayer, Israel would have to fight for its religion. And this country was founded by anti-religionists, left and right. 15 years ago, a prince of the atheist communes, Ehud Barak, the apotheosis of the new Jew as soldier, the most decorated in the state's lifetime, did absolutely nothing as the Arabs removed thousands of tons of dirt from the Temple Mount using dump trucks to build for themselves a huge underground mosque inside the mount. One of the most stirring moments of the miraculous Six-Day War was the radio transmission by General Mordechai Gur, saying, quote, "The Temple Mount is in our hands," and here, 33 years later, the Prime Minister of Israel in 2000 looked away as the Arabs looted our Temple Mount. Knowing Ehud Barak's community as well as I do, the wisdom of enlightenment dictates that you don't fight over religious things because religion is basically stupid. Superstition, old wives' tales, and a magical humbug. Likewise, the violence today, all day at Beit Hill, north of Jerusalem, where I lived for a couple of years, where the chaotic Israeli legal, political, and military systems are clashing, and some want to and some don't want to tear down 24 apartments and a couple of new buildings. The Prime Minister is on record opposing the destruction, but the Attorney General in this system is not his Attorney General, but completely independent and no fan of the national religious way of life. This is a Tel Aviv criminal defense mouthpiece. And then there's the High Court, perhaps unique in the liberal democracies for being a closed clique of leftists who choose only their own kind to sit on the bench. So what you get is what we saw today. Hundreds of police and hundreds of resistors to the demolition order. Scores were arrested, carried out bodily. Though my impression so far is that this was not another Amona, a national disgrace in which thugs in uniform brutalized demonstrators. And all because, like the Temple Mount, Israel's official position on Judea and Samaria is a mess. It's the ultimate, in a way, of anti-Zionist self-inflicted contradictory wounding. The very term Zionism originates in the word Zion, Zion. Not the land of Israel, but Zion, which, for those who don't know Hebrew, means simply mark, as an X marks the spot, or a landmark. Zion is also, just as in English, the word for grade in school, the mark you got on your test. In other words, the word Zion means, more or less, ground zero. X marks the spot for Jews. This is where it's at. For thousands of years, Jews never forgot that their homeland was not where they were living, which was easy because no Gentile authority between the Roman Empire, until the late 18th century, treated Jews as members of their nation with full citizenship rights. The homeland was always Eretz Yisrael, for short, Zion, a specific mark in Jerusalem. Hence, many times every day over these thousands of years, in prayers and blessings after food, one literally, as a Jew, had Jerusalem on one's lips. And what is Jerusalem, if not the city surrounding the Temple Mount? The Temple Mount, the Jewish people's holiest ground. It's not the Western Wall. And here are the grandchildren of the Zionists, who tolerate anti-Semitic abuse on that mount, because they are uncomfortable fighting for religion, for the Jewish religion, when Zionism arose in a Europe that already was lost to and wallowing in atheism, and the Zionists followed suit. It's not a coincidence that the 1870s saw the emergence of the very idea of anti-Semitism as a major movement in society, at the same time that the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche declared in that decade that God is dead. In this period as well, Karl Marx was still writing and declaring religion a drug that stupefies believers. It was not that the 1870s was suddenly the launching of a new idea, or rather a period. The intellectual atmosphere leading up to the 1870s had been in the works for over centuries. A century earlier, in the age of Voltaire and Kant, Christianity was also on the run, being dismissed. That period was nicknamed the Age of Reason by one of the most important journalists in history, the Englishman Tom Paine, whose book Common Sense ignited the American Revolution and whose next book was called The Age of Reason, his title, which he wrote when imprisoned in Paris during the French Revolution, imprisoned by the radical left. His book was basically a call to atheism, which came out in 1793. So modern Zionism emerged in a climate of poo-pooing religion that was quite established. And it's one reason why today's secular Israelis are at a loss when it comes to defending their rights to this land and the Temple Mount, because at bottom, these are religious rights. So what you do is tolerate the chronically ugly behavior, this really anti-Semitic behavior by these Gentiles on our Temple Mount. And it was another day, 2 days ago, of pushing and shoving. And today as well, between the police and the army and Jews and Beit El who believe they have the right to live where they want to live. Actually, the scenes today were kind of heartening because on display so far are Jews in conflict with one another, even physical conflict, confrontations with another, but thank God we're not Arabs, not Muslims. When they clash, don't act like us. They clash with weapons of death in their hands, and they use them to kill one another by the hundreds of thousands. Here we push and shove. Again, on the bright side, the courageous and dedicated Yehuda Glick was in J-Post, wonder of wonders, praising the police for their behavior on Sunday on the Temple Mount, and that of Minister of Internal Security Gil Erdan, who resolved to keep the Temple Mount open to Jewish day. In the past, a Minister of Internal Security would have it shut down, the police would shut it down. Said Rabbi Glick, "I think we saw a first step toward barring Muslim radicals from the Temple Mount in such times, and cracking down on the organizations that pay them. You know, these boys and these yowling females are paid to harass Jews. It's a job." Not that the police have altered basic policy, on Thursday, before Tisha B'Av, one youthful Jewess named Avia Morris was on the Temple Mount, and while there, was the target of screaming and cursing by Arab women like this for like 3/4 of an hour, and I assume she just took it until she lost it and spat back, "Muhammad is a pig," for which she was arrested. Imagine these Arab harpies shrieking at her for all that time, and the police do nothing. But when Ms. Morris loses her composure, she gets arrested. In sum, let us be thankful, as Rabbi Klick tells us, for the incremental progress of not shutting down the Mount to Jews, as in the past, at such times. But there still is a long, long way to go, a long philosophical way to go.
שאלתי מת השם אותה אבקש שבתי בבית השם כל ימי חיי אחת שאלתי מת השם אותה אבקש שבתי בבית השם כל ימי זאת בנועם השם ולבקר בהיכלו שבתי בבית השם כל ימי חיי לחזות בנועם השם ולבקר אחת שאלתי מת השם אותה אבקש שבתי בבית השם כל ימי חיי אחת שאלתי מת השם אותה אבקש שבתי בבית השם ימי חיי שבתי בבית השם כל ימי חיי לחזות בנועם השם ולבקר בהיכלו שבתי בבית השם כל ימי חיי לחזות שאלתי מת השם אותה לחזות בנועם השם ולבקר בהיכלו שבתי בבית השם כל ימי חיי לחזות בנועם השם ולבקר
And that was Psalm 27, verse 4. Yeah, Israel has to rediscover respect for its own religion, official Israel, that is, and one step toward that goal might be, finally, really the purpose of my epic book, taking on and defeating enemy propaganda, which is the basis for Israel hatred in the world these days. It's something Israel never does. For example, why do the Ishmaelites deny us the right to pray on our Temple Mount? And the answer in our time is that it's not our Temple Mount. It never was, they say. For decades, the PLO has gotten such as UNESCO to draft and vote on resolutions condemning the Judaization of Jerusalem, because in the primeval swamp, that is the Muslim brain, the Jews never had a presence in Jerusalem. In the 1920s, the Waqf crowed that the Muslim ownership of the Temple Mount was proof that Islam is the correct religion, because it was the site of the Jews' temple, which the wicked Jews, due to their wickedness, lost to believers in the one true faith. Today, though, since the summer of 2000, the doctrine is that the Jews never had a temple atop Haram al-Sharif. I myself have heard with my own ears Arab tour guides in the plaza before the Western Wall telling their charges that there's not one piece of evidence that the Jews ever had a temple on the mount. Palestinian Media Watch sent out a post 2 days ago reporting on a PA deputy minister insisting that centuries before the Jewish religion came into being, Palestinians were in Jerusalem. And it's the Jews who are stealing Palestinian history and geography. And I never cease to be amazed that official Israel never responds to this lunacy. Today, or the day before, we learned that Minister Sylvan Shalom met on his own accord with Saeb Arafat, when, by all rights, this should have been engineered through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Thus, the story was about Sylvan's freelance diplomacy and what Tzipi Hotaveli had to say about this, when yours truly is outraged that anyone meets with Saeb Arafat, ever. And why? Because in July 2000 at Camp David, when Arafat changed Muslim doctrine and said to President Clinton the Jews never had a temple in Jerusalem, Arafat was at his side and nodding in agreement. And then 2 years later, when the IDF attacked the terrorist cell inside the Jenin Unwa slum, following the horror at the Passover bombing in Netanyah at the Park Hotel, Saeb Arafat told the media that Israel had massacred 500 ancient Palestinians in Jenin, which, by the way, was the same number used in 1929 by the Grand Mufti Haj Amin, when he lied and told the faithful that Jews had murdered 500 believers on the Temple Mount that August, which sparked the 3 days of massacre. This guy Arafat is someone no Israeli official should ever be meeting with. And by the way, with rumors of 80-year-old Abu Mazen thinking of retiring, Arafat could be the next PLO headman. Israel should never talk with a man like this, but should make a stink over his behavior. Spreading this ridiculous lie about us, denying history, as surely as Arafat's Muslim brother in the White House, Obama, denies the existence of Islamic terrorism, as he did at Fort Hood, at Charlie Hebdo in Paris, in the Hyper Cacher, when some folks, he said, just happened to be killed. Obama is a man in permanent states of denial. Bibi is forever making arguments that are logical and reasonable in opposition to the positions held by the enemy, such as Iran, but he never, ever touches on the illogic and the primeval hallucinatory spirit of hatred that animates these people. The Europeans, the EU, Dr. Mogherini, the erstwhile young communist, is pondering how next to prod us to retreat from Judea and Samaria, when Israel might respond to her by making a stink over the Nazi-like brainwaves in the minds of our enemies, men we will not negotiate with. That should be Israeli policy. No good can come from negotiating with such delusional men, whose minds are clouded by medieval fantasies of Jews as agents of the devil, master manipulators of all the evil in the world. Israel needs to tell Mogherini, we will talk with anybody who signs off on the recorded history of the Jewish people in this land. the existence of our two temples in history, the first that stood for 410 years and the second for 420 years. Israel should declare its readiness to talk to anybody who accepts the history of the Jewish wars, as written about by Josephus, that accepts the Latin writings on the Jews by Tacitus and Cato and Seneca, one who accepts the thousands of PhD theses on university library shelves dealing with ancient history, with Bible and Middle Eastern archaeology, dealing with Jewish life in this land over thousands of years, and those who do not, we will not talk to. We should not talk to anyone so flaky as Erekat and Abbas. They must be exposed as primitive lunatics with whom no peaceful accommodation is possible. Israel has to demolish Palestinian propaganda, the anti-Semitic fantasy of a Palestinian history. Until it does, the war of words and threats of boycotts and sanctions will never go away.
Tiferet
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben Tekoa. And that was Aderes Emunah by Rav Ishmael Cohen, who lived in the 11th century. It's read every morning, Shabbos morning, in the Nusach Svarad synagogues. Yeah, Israel is faced with a phantom nation whose verbal existence is meant to undermine Israel's rights by claiming parallel and equal national rights that simultaneously cover up the truth, that this is no conflict between nations, but between religions. And how convenient for Israel's secular ruling class. This is why, in my book, I accuse the Jewish left of being as responsible for the invention of the Palestinians as our enemies in Arabi, in Islam, and the anti-Semitic West. Confronting the truth is commonly one of mankind's most difficult challenges. We see as well behavior in the latest brouhaha around Governor Mike Huckabee's raising the image of the doors to the crematoria in the matter of the Iran deal. It's quite interesting to see who says what. Without a doubt, Huckabee is right on target. And his detractors, especially among them the Jews, can't deal with this, for this truth challenges their own self-image and psychological needs. I watched Huckabee yesterday on Fox, on the 5 program, get attacked by Geraldo Rivera, halachically a Jew, but one who I am 99% sure does not live a Jewish life and knows no more about Judaism than many Gentiles. Geraldo is a liberal from New York and a defender of President Barack Hussein Obama. And the thought that Obama has the mass murder of Jews in mind is intolerable to a Geraldo Rivera, every liberal like him, really. Obama has a hard time disliking Islam, and I imagine Geraldo as well. You know, all religions are of equal worth. The 3 great monotheistic religions and the liberal fashion plate, Rivera does not want to be tarred with the accusation of Islamophobia. Also, like too many millions of Jews in America, like him, who know little of the truth of Jewish theory, wisdom, and praxis, the Holocaust is something one must always remember. We must never forget the Holocaust, such Jews say, and contribute money to building memorials and shrines to its victims in the mistaken belief that this is a worthy substitute for living a classical Jewish life. But as for learning from the Holocaust, well, that's something else. It seems to be for such people a kind of antiquarian hobby, but not a guide for the future. The objections to Huckabee's accurate warning is that, as some said, nothing compares to the Holocaust, and suggesting that this is what Obama wants is no good. Demands have been made of Huckabee that he retract his statement. Thank goodness he has not. Even Israel's ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer, recoiled from impugning anything but good motives to Obama and Kerry, which, of course, disagreeing with them. Well, I don't know what BB told his faithful servant Ron Dermer, if anything, to say, but I would not be surprised to learn if Dermer was speaking on orders from the boss. For my money, though, there is no doubt of the malevolence in Obama toward us Jews. He sat in that church of hatred for 20 years, a church that honored Louis Farrakhan. And Obama has no will to Jews? Ill will? Please. He insulted the Jewish people in his inaugural address. He insulted Prime Minister Netanyahu by not inviting him to lunch, walking out on him. He sandbagged Bibi by violating Resolution 242 without informing him ahead of time. Obama's first call as president was to the Muslim murderer and Holocaust denier Abbas. But he has no ill will towards Israel. Yeah. Give me a break. Abe Foxman, of course, criticized Mike Huckabee, too. Foxman, as a little boy in Germany, was handed over to, I think, the family of his Catholic nanny, who raised him for the duration, raised him as a Catholic, until he was returned to his parents after the war, and I think not until a legal battle, because the Catholics didn't want to lose one of their own. One presumes he suffers from post-traumatic stress from that, and he needs to be on the side of the government. He's not a Zionist. He never made Aliyah. He has worked for the ADL, whose job it is to defend Americans of Jewish extraction and not let that fact get in the way of their lives as Americans. I was once sent there to apply for a job and realized in the interview that the ADL is not a Jewish organization. It's an organization of Americans of Jewish extraction, which is a very different proposition. So, Abe Foxman wants nothing but good for Israel, I have no doubt, but in defending Obama against Huckabee, he exposes his inner life. The National Jewish Democratic Council, of course, objected to the, quote, unacceptable attack against President Obama that smears the memory of Holocaust victims. Likewise, these are Democrats of Jewish extraction and are mostly lost to the Jewish people when they defend this bad actor who is destroying the country, let alone Israel. Obama and Kerry want people to believe that the way to manage U.S.-Iran relations is to give the Iranians $150 billion and decide that at the very moment the government in Tehran is orchestrating mass demonstrations of Iranians shouting death to America. This argument will also license Iran to become a nuclear power. Mike Huckabee said the government plan was idiotic, but I disagree. Obama knows exactly what he's doing. Only Geraldo Rivera and fellow liberals haven't got the intestinal fortitude to face the truth that the reigning Iranian elite in Tehran are as crazy about Jews as any German Nazi ever was, and Obama backs them. Yeah, post-Jewish liberals like Geraldo Rivera and head of the Democratic National Committee, that dingbat, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, are there quick to remember the Holocaust, but prefer not to believe that since its passing, there are still people out there who think like Nazis. They don't want to know that. Remembering the Holocaust is something for the past, but it has no implications or applications towards the future, they believe. Mike Huckabee, on the other hand, and Rick Santorum, who agreed with him, have no doubt that the Iranian leadership means it when they express their wish to destroy the state of Israel. And those that can't believe them are at best just cowards. Okay, that's it for this Tuesday night, and I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.